Thanks for listening to the Mark Arum Show podcast. Thanks for Xfinity for sponsoring said podcast. A couple of things in life I don't skimp on. Toilet paper, razor blades, seafood. I want the best of the best when it comes to all three. And internet. That's why I use Xfinity internet. And it's the amazing 10G network. The 10G network from Xfinity. The future starts now. Smarter, more consistent, and a secure network. And it only gets better. Jump on board the Xfinity 10G network online. Just go to Xfinity.com. Hello, friends. Good to be back. Welcome to the Mark Arum Show. We got a monster for you today. Coming up in 1 hour, Governor Brian Kemp is going to join us. And then Oscar from The Office will be here, plus Eric Harrison breaking down the latest in campaign 2024. But it's good to be back. I'm back from spring break. I had a marvelous time in the Pacific Northwest, Deborah Green. It is just breathtakingly beautiful. If I was an outdoor guy, I'd probably move there.
I thought you were kind of an out. Don't you want to live alone and fish and
stuff
like that?
Yeah, I like to fish, but I mean, it's hiking and it's just, if you've never been to the Pacific Northwest, oh my goodness, it's gorgeous. Maya and I went to Seattle for a couple days, hung out with my brother, then went down to Portland, Oregon, and just had a fantastic time. It was so, so nice. Breathtaking. I felt like I was Doolittle Lynn. From Coal Miner's Daughter. Do you remember when he went out west to start logging?
Yeah.
I was like, I could be a logger. Anyway, I missed you guys. I'm so happy to be back. So much to talk about today. Obviously, we've got the eclipse to talk about. But I want to start off with it might be the best moment in Atlanta history.
There's a drive into left center field. That ball. Henry Aaron.
50 years ago today, you heard the call from Milo Hamilton here on WSB Radio. Hank Aaron broke the unbreakable record as he passed Babe Ruth for the all-time home run record. And you know how much of a baseball geek I am. Before the show, I was doing some deep thinking, deep thoughts with Jack Handy. I was like, "What is there a better moment in Atlanta history? Not just in sports, but in Atlanta history, period. Then Hank Aaron breaking that record. I can't think of one off the top of my head. I'm sure you folks know more than I, but I mean, you just talk about a seminal moment in a city's history. It's got to be Hank. If it's not number one, it's top three. The Olympic announcement. I mean, but that was just an announcement. That was just the Olympic Committee saying, hey, Atlanta, you got it. Which I know caused for celebration, but I mean, Hank Aaron, goodness gracious. So that call you heard there was from Milo Hamilton. He was doing the Braves radio network here on WSB Radio, but the Braves were playing the Dodgers at the time when Hank broke the record, and Vin Scully had the call on the Dodgers radio network. This is what the legendary Vin Scully had the call.
Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone.
So there's actually three calls on this. There's another one. I forgot the gentleman who had the third call, but there were three sets of announcers at Fulton County Stadium that day 50 years ago today. We know the Milo Hamilton call best because it was the Atlanta home broadcast. But then there was the Vin Scully, and I guess the third would have been the TV broadcast. I want to say it wasn't Red Barber. It was someone on the TV broadcast had the third call, and that's probably what most of the country heard. But here in Atlanta, everyone was tuned into AM 750, and everyone heard Hank Aaron hit home run number 715. What's ironic is I don't know what Fulton County Stadium held. It's probably like 45,000 fans. But if you ask people, there were 500,000 fans in the ballpark that night. Everyone claims to have been there. Like a 500,000 people are like, yeah, I was there when Hank hit home run 715. Kurt Gowdy. That's right. Thank you, Ken Charles. Kurt Gowdy did it for NBC. So anyway, I interviewed again. This to me, it's Atlanta, it's baseball, and it's a legend, Hank Aaron. This is a really cool anniversary for me. I got to interview Vin Scully years later. This was part of when the Braves were on WSB Radio, I did the pregame and the postgame show, and the Dodgers were in town. And I got to interview Vin Scully, Hall of Fame announcer for the Dodgers, maybe the best that ever lived. And I asked him what it was like in that moment to call Hank Aaron's record-breaking home run.
Well, I certainly realized the importance of it. And basically, my whole philosophy in broadcasting is to call a play as quickly and as accurately as possible and then get out of the way for the roar of the crowd. I've always been intoxicated by the sound of 50,000 people screaming. It's a wonderful, wonderful sound. And so when Henry hit the ball, I described it as best I could. And I described Bill Buckner, the Dodger left fielder, going back to the wire fence of the Atlanta bullpen. And I described Buckner climbing the fence and extending his arm. And then I said, it's gone into the bullpen, home run. And then I shut up. And I guess I let the crowd roar for maybe 2 minutes, because nothing else went on but fireworks and the crowd screaming. And I just thought that was better than any words I could possibly spring together at the moment.
There you go. Vin Scully, years ago, I interviewed him here on WSB Radio. My biggest regret, Deborah Green, in being in this seat with this station for as long as I have, I never got the chance to interview Hank Aaron.
You met him?
I never met him. I never shook his hand. I've been in the same room as him a couple of times, but I didn't want to bother the home run king. The one time I had a chance to interview him, I was out of town on vacation, and Judd actually filled in for me. So Judd got to interview him. It was Judd and Chris Camp and Jay Black. They went to his house, and I was out of town. I was screaming, I can't believe this is happening. But to me, I mean, a seminal moment in. So it was April of 74, so I was 4.5 months old. So at least I was on the planet when it happened. Pernell, Sweet Pea, who screens the calls, you were, I'm not going to give your age away, but you were old enough to know that Hank Aaron just broke Babe Ruth's record.
Yes, in 1974, I was a teenager at the time.
Yeah. Do you remember? Like, I mean, is it not only the historical importance for baseball, but there was a racial component too, right? Hank Aaron was getting peppered with all of these racist letters saying, "How dare you beat the, you know, Babe Ruth?" Do you remember that side of the story as a teen?
I do, I do. But in our community, we were very excited that he got the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, an amazing moment. I mean, I tweeted out a picture and put on my Facebook a picture of Hank circling the bases and fans on the field, like rushing to the field. Our buddy Ron Sherman.
Yeah, I was going to say, remember we talked to that guy?
Yeah, so I put one of Ron's pictures up on social media. Fantastic stuff. Ron was on the field and got pictures of it all. But I think one of the greatest days in Atlanta history, 50 years ago today, Hank Aaron broke the unbreakable record as he passed Babe Ruth for the all-time home run record. And you heard it here live on WSB Radio, which is even more cool. All right, when we come back, Eclipse coverage is going to begin. Yes, if you missed today's eclipse, you got to wait till 2045. We'll go in-depth on today's big solar eclipse. That's coming up next on The Mark Arum Show. Nine 18 on the Mark Arum Show. Coming up at 10:05, Governor Brian Kemp's going to join us live. Eric Erickson at 10:35, and then Oscar from The Office. I think we're down to just like Steve Carell.
Is that all I have to get?
I think so.
Okay.
Oh, and Jim, welcome back to the Mark Arum Show. When I was out on vacation for spring break, we stayed with one of my best friends from college and his wife. They live out in Portland now. She works for Nike, by the way. Which is I got to go to the Nike.
Did you get the new 404 Nikes?
I didn't know they were a thing, but look at.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Those are cool.
She took me to the Nike company store for employees.
Did you watch that Air movie?
Not yet.
Oh, watch
Not
it.
Yet. Anyway, I had to sign an NDA to go on the Nike campus.
That's awesome.
It was amazing. It's like a college campus. It's crazy. Anyway, what was I talking about?
The office.
The office. Gym. So I didn't know. I've known my friend's wife for 15, 20 years. She went to college with Jim at Brown. They were in an acting class together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was like, so he knows you? She's like, oh, yeah. You know, we used to keep in touch. until he got huge on The Office.
Until he married Emily Blunt.
Yeah, exactly. So if we ever get Jim from The Office, I've got an
I've met Jim and Pam before.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they came in together to do something. Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. So Oscar in The Office. All right, Eclipse Day today. I'm getting a little FOMO. I'm not going to lie, Deborah. I kind of want to be one of those people that are out and about. Not
like
necessarily.
Longoria?
Like Longoria, who's off today for the eclipse. I think he's doing that for his daughters, right? But like, I think I had this audio. It's gone now. But they're expecting like a million people at Niagara Falls.
Oh yeah, they declared a state of emergency or something like that. No more people can go to Niagara Falls.
I mean, just combining the beauty of nature on Earth and then the celestial, like that would have been perfect. To go tonight, that's I'm getting massive FOMO. Now we're gonna have about 80%, I believe.
A partial eclipse.
Yeah, Brian Monahan's gonna come down from Channel 2 next half hour to tell us when the best times. Here's why I'm having FOMO, and we had one not too long ago. I think it was 2017. I remember Eric Von Hessler and I were doing a live broadcast out in the we broadcast the
courtyard
in the courtyard, and like everyone from the station was out there. It was fun. It was a great time. I wish I had kept those glasses though.
I kept mine.
I don't have any of those eclipse
glasses.
You
can get them at a library.
I love how libraries are like, we're relevant. We got our glasses.
Hey, come on in, get a book too.
come in. But here's why I'm gonna forego my afternoon nap today, even though I really need it because I'm still kind of jet lagged. This isn't going to happen again until 2045. So I'm assuming with my dietary habits, I'm not going to be around for the next eclipse. Odds are I won't be here. Colby's young. She'll be here.
Colby will remember this one.
I think a lot of the listeners are in the same boat. Like who knows what's going to be happening? This might be literally the last time that our eyes can witness this amazing celestial event. So I should have, if I didn't take off spring break last week, I should have taken today off or at least broadcast from Niagara Falls or somewhere. But the line of full eclipse hood, that is not how the scientists describe it. It starts from Texas and goes all the way up through Michigan into upstate New York. And
yeah,
but at least we're going to get 80%, which is still, but the full, from what I'm hearing, it's going to be completely pitch black in the
areas
of totality.
Yeah, where it's 100%, it's going to feel like night all of a sudden.
That's amazing. I heard a story, and I had to fact check myself about this story. Because I heard, you know, you watch these videos on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram, and you never really know the validity of these stories. And I remember hearing a story years ago that Christopher Columbus, not to be described, confused with Columbus, Georgia, or Columbus, Ohio, Christopher Columbus, on his third or fourth voyage to the New World, he stopped in Jamaica, 1504-ish. So 12 years after 1492, he sailed the ocean
blue.
Oh,
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
So apparently they had docked, Columbus and his crew had docked in Jamaica for about 6 months. And the natives on the island were kind of fed up with Columbus and his people. Like, they were feeding them. And they didn't really have any, Columbus didn't have much to trade anymore.
Yeah, he just kind of like came over and started taking over. And they're like, all right, you can go back now.
Well, apparently they were trading for food. But at some point, the natives are like, we don't want any of your crap anymore, man. You know, we're not hoarders. We're not giving you any more food. And Columbus, knowing that there was going to be an eclipse, said, all right, but I'm warning you, you're going to anger my God. In fact, in a week, my God's going to black out the sun or the moon, whatever kind of eclipse it was. And the native Jamaicans like, all right, buddy, sure. And then sure enough, the eclipse came and they filled up their food. Now, I don't know if that's genius or dastardly or both.
A little of both.
I give him credit for creativity. Like, all right, how are we going to get some food? Did he time that adventure, the last trip, to coincide with the eclipse?
I mean, I don't know that he timed it to necessarily be there on time, but they did were smart enough to know what was going on in that, because they used the stars to navigate and everything.
Exactly.
And I think he got there enough time realizing, oh yeah, this is going to happen. We'll just hang it out.
So I'd heard that story years ago, and I was like, before I put it on the air, let me fact check it. And I don't know how good a fact check Wikipedia is.
I've seen multiple documentaries where that's been in there as well.
I guess that's it, it's mostly ingenious, but also dastardly. Like saying, oh, my God, I'm going to have my God block out the sun unless you feed us. And the sun, the eclipse happened, and he got fed. All right, more on the eclipse. Jennifer King, because I want to know what the weather's going to be like here today, too, because we've got the eclipse, the 80% eclipse here. Jennifer King reports cloudy weather may spoil the view for many in North America who are waiting to glimpse the eclipse.
Forecasters are calling for clouds along much of the narrow corridor in North America, where millions of spectators hope to catch a total solar eclipse. The best weather is expected in Vermont and Maine, as well as New Brunswick and Newfoundland, Canada. The eclipse begins in the Pacific and makes landfall at Mazatlan, Mexico, where NASA astronomer Brian Day has been posted up.
Clouds like this, we should still be able to see things like the diamond ring and the chromosphere and inner corona.
The totality shadow crosses into Texas in San Antonio, maxing out at 1:36 p.m., while in Cleveland it peaks around 3:13 p.m., and up in Maine around 3:32 p.m. Almost everyone in North America is guaranteed at least a partial eclipse, weather permitting. If you miss out, no problem. There'll be another one in 21 years.
Yeah, great.
I'm Jennifer King.
Thanks, Jennifer King. 21 years is promised to no one. What's amazing is this is actually like a boom to the economy. Maya's best friend tried to book Airbnbs along the path of totality.
Oh, yeah, they're booked up.
They're all booked up. People, I am definitely getting FOMO now.
I mean, we talked about the flights. They had specific flights just to see the
eclipse.
All
booked up. And apparently there are lines of private jets lined up at the Dallas-Fort Worth exit.
I can see that.
All of
these
private, you know, the Richies. That's where Longoria is.
Was in Texas.
Yes.
You're right.
And so, but this is apparently a massive boom to the economy. Tammy Trujillo has more.
As millions prepare to witness the rare celestial event, experts are forecasting upwards of a $1.5 billion boost to businesses within the eclipse's corridor. Lodging and travel, such as Airbnb, hotels, and airlines, will be the major beneficiaries, with an estimated 4 million travelers on the move along the path of the eclipse from Texas to Maine. Retailers are also expected to continue seeing an uptick in sales for eclipse-related products, from viewing glasses to portable chairs. History shows the stock market is likely to have a positive response, with the Dow finishing the year with notable gains in 10 out of 13 total solar eclipse events since 1900. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
There you go. So everyone's cashing in on the eclipse. We're going to go live to Texas when we come back. Reporter Chris Fox there covering the eclipse. Brian Monahan, Channel 2 meteorologist, going to let us know the best times to view the eclipse here in the metro area. And then after the news at 10, Governor Brian Kemp joins us live. We've got a massive show for you, folks. All the social media is active at Mark Arum, MarkArum. Nine 36 on this Eclipse Monday. Welcome back, friends. Mark Arum and crew with you till noon. 30 minutes from now, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp is going to join us live. And then Oscar from The Office. I'm very excited about that. In the meantime, though, we continue our team coverage of Eclipse 2024. Joining us live from the great state of Texas, reporter Chris Fox. Chris, good morning. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. Texans in the path of totality woke up this morning with two of the worst words they were not hoping for at all: poor visibility. And so that's what we're looking at for most of the path of totality. The idea is that perhaps the weather guys, the meteorologists all week I've been speaking with, and today they've been getting a lot of exercise, bending over backwards, trying to find any positive spin whatsoever. And the only thing they're coming up with is there may be a break in the clouds around 1:30, 1 o'clock, 1:30. And that's in Austin. That's when we will be the path of totality hits, and that'll be total eclipse at about 1:37. So the thought is some lucky people might be able to see it. Others most likely won't. Also getting reports that the best place to watch would be up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And that also once the eclipse is over, the show begins. Governor Abbott has Texas Department of Emergency Management on ready. He's mobilized emergency response resources because we're expecting severe weather coming through, hail up to the size of golf balls, and over the next 2 days. So
crazy. Chris, what a gut punch to all the folks that, because I know it's not just native Texans that are in the state right now to witness this. But, you know, people came from all over the world to that great viewpoint that you guys are going to have in Texas. And then limited visibility, that's a horrible gut punch.
All the airports have been packed. A friend of mine from World Radio Switzerland flew in town Friday, and I picked him up at the airport. And it was just, he said it was just crazy with all the people flying in from all over the world. Yeah, we're expecting, the comptroller expects about 1.1 million people are coming to Texas to view it. And the watch party started early. So the watch party started in true Central Texas fashion. Whenever Austin can come up with a reason to have a party, this is a good one. And they have music and food and all kinds of events. And the names are pretty good, too. So, like, you were playing the cut of Bill Nye the Science Guy. He's in Fredericksburg. That's in the wine country, the hill country of Texas, just west of Austin. And that's directly in the line. Fredericksburg will get 4 minutes and 24 seconds, rather, of total eclipse. And he's there with the Eclipsapalooza in Round Rock, Texas, with the AAA affiliate of the Texas Rangers. They're having their total eclipse of the park today. We're also looking at different events like a sunblock party in Dripping Springs. So in Kerrville, which is also hill country, they've got the Kirk Cliffs Music Festival. So everyone's going crazy. Also traffic. The Texas Department of Transportation releasing statements saying, especially in the Austin area, imagine what it's like usually in rush hour and then multiply that times five.
Unbelievable. So,
all these small towns are also basically connected by two-way farm-to-market roads that aren't really set up to handle any sort of, you know, Kerrville's expecting this tiny town of maybe 10,000, expecting 100,000. So, it's just crazy.
Even if there is limited visibility, if I'm reading this correctly, where you are in Texas with the total blackout, it's still going to get completely dark in areas of Texas in the middle of the afternoon. That's a crazy thing to consider.
Yeah, that's the one thing. And now that everyone's also adding to it, how will this affect the animals? Birds are all going to go to sleep. It is kind of funny. We're tapping the end of the trail of stories on eclipse coverage. It is kind of interesting. But yeah, it has been a lot of these areas like Kerrville and Fredericksburg. They've been preparing for a year.
Yeah.
And the thought that they woke up this morning with poor visibility. You know, everyone always says how meteorologists are wrong most of the time. Unfortunately, for the last 10 days, they've been spot on.
They knew it was coming. What's interesting to me.
We have heavy cloud cover right now here. But they're, like I said, they're hoping it may break up a little bit around noonish. And that's when our partial eclipse will start at around just after, I think, 12:17. And then we'll be total eclipse at 1:37, the whole thing ending at about 2:58.
I remember back, we talked earlier about the last eclipse in 2017, and that also your area was, Texas was the complete blockout of the sun. What's so special about that area of Texas that you're just like, it's the eclipse honey spot?
Well, actually, we weren't total then. The last time, and this is Travis County, which is Austin, putting out on their webpage, the last total eclipse to come through this area that was complete was 627 years ago. And the next one is 317 years. We did have back late, I think it was in November, annular eclipse, which is slightly less. So it was a smaller moon crossing the sun. And so basically it was, the lighting looked like a bad French restaurant. So it didn't get totally dark.
What
was interesting about it was seeing the reflection of leaves on the ground. They all look like crescents. You could actually see eclipse.
We had that in Atlanta, too.
In the park. I was walking in the park near me, and I not realizing it was the annular eclipse day. And I thought, those look crazy. And I ran into a couple who had their glasses, the eclipse-watching glasses. And they let me borrow them to see it. And the gentleman pointed out, you're looking at the reflection of the eclipse through the leaves, and it was really crazy.
Yeah, that I remember that. That stands out. Well, listen, I hope things clear up because, this is, for a lot of us, it's a once-in-a-lifetime event. We might not be around in 2045 when the next one comes, so hopefully the clouds will break and the folks down in Texas can enjoy this amazing celestial event.
I'm hoping for a good party myself.
There you go. Chris Fox, reporter in Texas, CBS Radio, is joining us live. That stinks. I'm trying to think of days where you want clear weather. Your wedding day, right? No one wants...
Of course. Anything big, parties outside. Yeah. Like music festivals for me.
As a kid, you didn't want it to rain on Halloween. That was a big weather day as a child.
Yeah.
But the eclipse, I mean, people spent thousands of dollars to... That guy flew from Europe to come to Texas to see it. Imagine it's cloudy. Oh, that's horrible. All right, so I am... My FOMO is climbing now because I'm not going to be in the... area of totality. But we can all enjoy some eclipse-related food benefits today, Deborah Green?
Yeah, all kinds of restaurants are doing specials for the eclipse. Now, a lot of them you're going to have the app. That's kind of where it is
yes,
now.
So
if you have apps for any of these fast food restaurants, as Johnny Kielbasa has always told us to do.
Yeah.
So Burger King is doing the BOGO Whopper, right? Which I know a lot of people can eat two Whoppers. So right?
Me,
as long as you have the Burger King app and you get it on there ahead of time, you walk into a Burger King, they'll give you a BOGO Whopper. Krispy Kreme has a special donut. It's a chocolate donut, and then it's got an Oreo on top, so it looks like the moon is blocking out the sun. So that's cool. You can go pick that up at Krispy Kreme. Dunkin' Donuts also has an eclipse donut. Pizza Hut has any pizza. It's called the Total Eclipse of the Hut.
I love that.
$12 any pizza. Again, you have to have the app on there. Smoothie King's got a special berry blitz smoothie.
Keep going.
Yeah. Insomnia Cookies got a special cookie where, again, it looks like one cookie is covering the other, so it looks like they're covering up the sun. Sonic Drive-In has a special blackout slush.
Oh,
although
wow.
Black food, be careful with black food. It might.
Yeah,
the black aftermath of
Whopper.
Black food can scare people.
Yeah.
Applebee's also got some themes going on. You can get a special tequila drink or orange liqueur drink. Moon Pie, do you remember Moon Pies?
Yes.
They're doing a special. Snapple's got an Element Sun drink that you can pick up at stores.
I saw there was one, I think it was a chip company.
Sun Chips. Sun Chips, available for 4 minutes
That's
and 27
it.
Seconds. You can, let's see, how is it available?
I think
beginning
you have to
at 1:33 Central today, fans will have 5 minutes to get their hands on Sun Chips. So you go online and you can register, and there's only 100 available.
You're gonna see those pop up on eBay next week.
Absolutely.
For like 10 times the price. All right. Fred Blankenship came down here this morning. He's like, Aram didn't bring in Eclipse Donuts? I had no idea there
were. You were out Friday and the newsroom was a tizzy.
I'm so sorry. Speaking of Channel 2, Channel 2 meteorologist Brian Monahan is going to join us live. I want to ask him when the best times we can see the eclipse here in Metro Atlanta, and will we have any visibility issues? He's coming up live in studio next on the Mark Aram Show.
We predict the motions of the moon relative to the Earth's surface, and it comes out exactly as we predict. It's amazing. It goes dark. I mean, it's not like a cloudy day dark. It gets nighttime. The crickets start cricketing. The birds start chirping. You'll often get a little breeze because of the cooling of the ground locally. It's amazing.
Bill Nye, the science guy, says it's amazing. Welcome back to the Mark Aram Show as we continue our coverage of Eclipse 2024. Coming up after the news at 10, Governor Brian Kemp's going to join us live. But in studio right now, my longtime weather compadre from Channel 2 Action News this morning, Mr. Brian Monahan. Brian, good morning.
Happy Eclipse Day.
I haven't seen you in person in so long.
It has been a minute.
Fantastic.
Mike Shields, as I walked down over in the traffic center, said, you should come down and visit more. I should.
Exactly. I didn't know if you knew how to get down to the
first. You know what? There were some lefts and rights, but I found my way down here. We're good. We do math. We do science. I can find my way.
So we had Christina Edwards, our meteorologist, mm-hmm. on this morning. She's super geeked out about this eclipse. I would imagine in the meteorological world, like this is a big day for you guys.
It's a big day. It's a big deal. It's something that in North Georgia, by the way, so total solar eclipse is going to be in Texas, places like that, middle part of the country. That's where the chief is, by the way, right now. Chief meteorologist Brad Nitz is on his way to Dallas right now. The next time we will see a total solar eclipse over Atlanta, 2078.
Oh, I'm definitely
won't be here
for that.
So these things don't happen all that often in any given spot. And we're going to get a partial solar eclipse here that will start at 1:45 in the afternoon. The peak is at 3:05 this afternoon.
Okay. So it's going to be a couple of hours of seeing this progress.
Yeah.
We're not getting a total, but
no.
What's that partial going to look like?
So the partial, really, unless you have those special solar eclipse glasses we were trying them on in the studio this morning, you put those things on, you can't see inside.
Complete blindness, yeah.
That's the point. When you're outside, it really protects your eyes. So when you look up in the sky, you're going to see, basically by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the moon is going to kind of be, it's almost going to look like Pac-Man almost. The moon is going to kind of disappear, rather the sun will disappear. And at 3:05, you'll have basically just a crescent of the sun. Now, if you don't have those glasses on, you're just walking around, you might notice the light dim just a little bit. The temperature might drop a little bit. But let me give you some perspective here. The difference between total eclipse and, let's say, a 99% eclipse.
Okay.
And the way I would describe this as, say, you know, they had the big Mega Millions, Powerball, jackpots,
sure,
right? Say you win at $8 on a ticket.
Yeah.
You feel good about yourself, right?
Yeah, not too bad.
That's the 99% eclipse.
Okay.
The $1.6 billion jackpot, that's the 100%. That's how big the difference is. So Brad.
Complete darkness.
Brad in Dallas is going to go from 2 o'clock in the afternoon, sunshine, as long as the clouds cooperate, sunshine, bright like a normal day, to like that. It becomes dusk.
So we won't get complete darkness here. Okay.
But there they will. Temperature drops 10 or 12, 15 degrees. It feels cool. All of a sudden, the streetlights come on. It's wild, a total solar eclipse.
And Deborah sent me a story. For some reason, during the last eclipse, all of a sudden, sea turtles started mating.
But all that, but the behavior of animals completely changes. And I was in Clemson for the total solar eclipse. That one was really close to us back in 2017. And it is just almost actually talking about it now sends kind of a chill up my spine. It's just that kind of an event. It's hard to describe it, but it's a really special event. By the way, 2017, we gave away at a lot of places those special solar glasses.
I wish I still kept mine.
If you still have them, and as long as they're not broken, damaged in any way, warped or any way, you are totally okay to use those for today.
Brian Monahan joining us live in studio on the Mark Arum Show. You can catch him every morning on Channel 2 Action News this morning. You guys still starting at 4:30?
4:30 a.m. 4:30 a.m. Feel free to join us anytime you want. I mean, we could do a quadruple team traffic.
Yeah,
I'm sure
we'll
Mike
see.
Shields would love it.
Talk to Marion about that. So we had a reporter on from Texas last segment, and sadly, the visibility for NITS might be limited. Are we going to have any visibility issues here in Metro Atlanta?
Here, it's going to be most areas. Viewing should be just fine. Now, there will be a couple of unlucky spots where the clouds are just in the wrong spot at the wrong time when we're at the greatest eclipse we're going to see. But most of us will have over that, hour and a half, hour and 20 minute window, at least some view of the eclipse. Where in Dallas, in Texas, they're really going to be fighting the clouds. I'm keeping my fingers crossed for Brad that he's going to see it.
I feel so bad for folks that, you know, especially Delta had those two special flights that are going, but they'll be above the cloud cover, right?
The thing is, that is going to be the best place to actually see it. Those special flights that are flying the eclipse route, you're above the clouds, you're going to have completely unobstructed view of the eclipse, which is going to be awesome.
Can News Chopper 2 go above the?
I don't know. Let's ask Smiley.
Brian Monahan. So you're going to be on the air at noon.
At noon, and setting it up. We're going to talk to Brad actually at 12:30, I think. Just shortly after he lands.
What's Brian Monahan? Are you going to head back to the roof where you used to do your reports during COVID?
I am. I'm actually going to be on my way home.
Yeah.
And my plan is, one of our fine studio assistants was asking today, what are you going to do? When are you going to view it? You can go out there at any time during that window.
Yeah.
I'm going to choose between roughly about 2:55, 3:10 when we're at that maximum eclipse. Going to put those glasses on and hope the clouds cooperate. I'm able to see it. But my plan. My plan around 3 o'clock.
Is there an extra pair of glasses you can snag me?
You know, I gave away my last pair of extra glasses this morning. If you were doing triple team traffic at 4:30, though,
a small price to pay.
Hey, Shields has a pair. You should ask
him. And he's going to be sleeping during this time. So anyway. All right, Brian, so good to see you, buddy.
Always
by the way, I was just in your old stomping grounds for spring break, the Pacific Northwest.
Uh-huh.
How did you leave that area of the country, man?
And you were there when it's still kind of cloudy and wintry.
Gorgeous.
And the summer, there is no better summer in the country. But 8 months a year?
Oh, really?
A little cloudy, a little drizzly, a little wet, but it's a great place.
Yeah, I fell in love with it. All right, Brian Monahan, we'll watch you at Channel 2 Action News at noon. And still, I can't believe you guys are still doing the 4:30 a.m.
Join us at 4:30 anytime you want.
That's when my alarm goes off. I should know that. All right, Brian, good to see you, my friend.
Good to talk to you.
And don't look directly in the sun.
Do not do that.
Yeah.
Or don't try to take the picture on your phone. Don't do that either.
It'll mess
up your phone camera. Just the glasses.
All right. Appreciate it. Good to see you, Brian.
Good to see you.
All right. News, weather, and traffic straight ahead. When we come back, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp's going to join us live. I'm going to ask him what he's doing for the eclipse. And he's at a very big groundbreaking. We'll discuss that next. Social media is active throughout the broadcast at Mark Arum, M-A-R-K-A-R-U-M. Back to the show and a good Monday morning to you. Mark Arum here, you there. It's 10:05, 5 minutes after 10 o'clock. This is the Mark Arum Show live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon on 95.5 WSB. Extended family with us today. Deborah Green, the executive producer of the show. Lovely Colby filling in for Longoria on the other side of the takeout window. Sweet Pea Purnell screens your calls. Coming up in 30 minutes, Eric Erickson joins us live with the latest on Campaign 2024. And then after that, Oscar Nunez from the office is going to join us, but live now on the line is the governor of the great state of Georgia, Governor Brian Kemp. Governor, good morning. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning, Mark. Doing great. Hope you are.
Excellent. I imagine you're on your way down to Fayette County right now for a massive groundbreaking ceremony.
Well, we are. We're very excited about the U.S. soccer headquarters being down in Fayetteville. It's going to be a great celebration this morning to kick that project off. It's going to be a great economic win for our state, bring a lot of people here to train. And, you know, we're becoming the mecca of soccer, if you will, and sports in general here in the Peach State in the city of Atlanta. It's awesome.
Yeah, so this is like the headquarters for the U.S. soccer program. It's going to be here in the metro area. That's a massive win for the state of Georgia.
Well, it is. I mean, it's like a corporate headquarters announcement, if you will, from, you know, somebody like, obviously, Home Depot, Delta, UPS, Georgia-based companies, but others that we brought here, like Norfolk Southern, NCR, and this is just another corporate headquarters, if you will. It's just completely different because you're going to have a lot of people coming in and out to train, and it's going to be the home to U.S. soccer, and obviously, we saw over the weekend with the She Believes Cup, record attendance for a women's soccer event. We've got the, you know, 8 matches coming in the World Cup, which is going to be incredible for our state from the soccer perspective, but also from an economic tourism perspective, and literally having Atlanta and the state of Georgia having access to the world.
And this is going to be a huge, like 200 acres, I believe, Governor. And, you know, obviously this is, you know, preceding the World Cup coming to Atlanta, which is another massive get. So you're right. I mean, it's quickly becoming at least the soccer capital of North America.
Well, it really is. And I've been, you know, had my team going back just to think about all the big sporting events that we've had in this city and in the state of Georgia. It's been pretty incredible. Even over the last 10 years, and certainly over the last 5 since I've been governor, when you think about the Super Bowl, you know, SEC championship games, national championship games, we have the national championship coming back here. Obviously, what's coming in the World Cup is just going to be incredible. And then this U.S. soccer announcement today is just, I mean, it's another feather in our cap. It's a great place for people to live, work, and raise their family. And I think, you know, that's what we're celebrating today.
Governor Brian Kemp joining us live on the Mark Arum Show. What's miraculous to me is, you know, how engaged the nation's youth is in soccer. I was at a career day a couple of weeks ago at an elementary school in Gwinnett County and talked to like 120 fifth graders, and they all wanted to know what famous soccer players I've interviewed. Like that's all they cared about. They're like, have you interviewed this person? Have you ever? I mean, that it's truly a growth sport, right? The youth of this nation are just enthralled with soccer.
Well, it's really great to see, and I think, you know, obviously Arthur Blank and Atlanta United, I think, really had a tremendous amount of vision when it comes to that and where soccer is standing in the world. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of great sports in the South, and you think about the Braves sweeping this weekend, big celebration tonight with Hank Aaron, the 50th anniversary of Hank Aaron's record-breaking home run, and just so many good things that are going on, but certainly soccer is at the forefront of that, and will be today as we talk about that during the
groundbreaking for the U.S. soccer headquarters. And then we got a little golf tournament down the road that will be going on later in the week that will put us on the world stage as well.
Indeed. I'm glad you mentioned Hammer and Hank.
There's a drive into left center field.
50 years ago today on WSB Radio, Milo Hamilton with the call.
There's a new home run champion of all time, and it's Henry.
I'm getting goosebumps just listening to that. Governor, did you ever get to spend time with the home run king?
I did. I got to meet Hammer and Hank and his wife, Billy, several times. Just such a nice man and such a historic figure, but such a calming presence, you know. And I remember as a kid listening to the Braves and Milo Hamilton and heroes like Henry Aaron, and you think about other people that were on that team. Dusty Baker, Davey Johnson went on to be great, you know, Major League Baseball managers. I mean, just incredible sports history there, and we're looking forward to being at the game tonight and participating in the pregame ceremony honoring this historic day in our state and just this historic figure in Henry Aaron.
Well, I'm glad you're getting to go to the game. Yeah, I was talking at the top of the show, you know, one of the greatest moments in Atlanta history, not just sports, but for the city and the state. Like, it's tough to top that the unbreakable record being broken by Henry Louis Aaron here at Fulton County Stadium.
Yeah, it really is. It was an incredible thing to be able to watch, especially as a baseball fan and someone that played in my youth and up through high school, to be able to, you know, remember that type of atmosphere and events like that were incredible.
Governor, it's eclipse day today. I don't know if you're going to be done with the groundbreaking in time to see the partial solar eclipse here. Do you and the First Lady have plans to check out the solar eclipse today?
Man, I've got such a busy day. I guess I'll try to peek outside and see what's going on. It's going to be interesting to see how big an impact we actually have here when you look at the path. And I was looking at it just a little while ago, and I guess it's going to kind of be a late morning, early afternoon passing closest to us. So we'll see what that's like and see what the clouds are doing out there.
Well, what I'm excited about this for is a lot of the schools in the area are using this as a teaching moment, right, to teach kids about the sun and the stars and celestial events. And I'm hoping that this will spur a future generation of astronomers or astronauts, you know, kids that get hooked on the science bug early because of this eclipse. That being said, I don't know if I've ever asked you this before, Governor. 12-year-old Brian Kemp, what did 12-year-old Brian Kemp want to be when he grew up?
Man, probably some sort of a baseball player or football player or something like that. I certainly wasn't thinking about being an astronaut, I can tell you that.
There you go. Governor, as always, appreciate your time. Very excited about the groundbreaking of the U.S. Soccer program down in Fayette County. Is it 400 jobs that's going to create something like that?
I believe that's right. But you'll see the ancillary jobs, too, Mark, that will come off of that when you think about people that will be staying in hotels, eating in our restaurants, flying in and out of the airport when they're coming here to train or do business with U.S. soccer. It's going to have a lot of impact on the economy of our state.
Can't wait. More wins for Georgia. Governor Brian Kemp. Governor, as always, appreciate your time, sir.
Have a great day. Thank you.
You too, Governor. Governor Kemp, live on the Mark Arum Show. Governor, if you're still listening, don't just stick your head out the motorcade. Like, put some glasses on. Monahan, give some glasses to Governor Kemp, please. All right, we'll be right back. Oh, I posted the video. Deborah made a social video of me interviewing Vince Scully about Hammer and Hank's 715th home run. That's posted on my social medias right now, at Mark Arum, M-A-R-K-A-R-U-M. Alex, are you going to go to Truist Park tonight for the Hank Aaron celebration?
If I didn't have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
You will. Governor Kemp will be there. I went to the Braves game on Friday. So Maya and I got back from the West Coast. Red-eye flights are, God, I'm too old for red-eyes. We left Portland's airport at like 11:30 p.m., landed in Atlanta at 6:30 a.m. I got like 30 minutes of sleep on the plane. But because the Braves game was snowed out in Chicago or whatever, Spencer Strider got bumped to Friday's home opener. And, you know, that's my man crush.
Yep,
so I was like, I'm like, Maya, I got to go to the game Friday. She's like, yeah, go ahead. I'm going to rest. Like, we were both just wiped out. So I went to the game. But if you can purchase single seats, you get such a good deal on like the StubHubs, et cetera, because no one wants to go to the game by themselves except me. So I got a great seat. I wound up sitting next to a listener of the show, Brandon, and his family. It was a great time. And Spencer Strider is my man crush. And he's struggling. And his fastball is like 95 miles an hour. And I'm talking to Brandon. I'm like, something's not right. Like, this isn't the Spencer Strider. And sure enough, he's got damage to his UCL ligament in his elbow. And they had an MRI on Saturday. They're going to have a second opinion. But worst possible scenario, it's Tommy John surgery. His second. He had one when he was in Clemson. So I'm just distraught. I almost wore all black today in mourning because he's my favorite player. It's sad. But shout out to Brandon and his lovely family. It was a great night at the ballpark, except getting home. Uber.
Why? Was it just packed?
So I never park at Truist.
Oh, no, don't park if you don't have to.
Yeah, I take Uber because it's easier. I don't have to deal with parking. And as I'm leaving, I guess there was surge pricing on. Uber X, which is like the basic bare bottoms.
Yeah, your regular one.
That was more expensive than the Uber Black, which
really?
Is like,
yeah. Wow.
So I was like, all right, I'm getting Uber Black, saving it, I had this big black
your
SUV.
VIP style.
Yeah, Braves, amazing back-to-back walk-off wins, but Spencer Strider is I'm nauseous even just talking about it. Just absolutely crushed. Anyway, I was speaking of transportation. Today marks the day where the MARTA station at the airport is no longer working. So you need to, if you normally take the MARTA train to the airport, you can still do it, but you got to get off the College Park station, and then they'll take you on a bus, but they say add about 30 minutes to do that. I guess one of the benefits of mass transit is you don't have to pass kids selling lemonade on the side of the road. I've been vocal on this. If, in my old neighborhood, there were kids that set up lemonade stands on the regular, and I would always give them money and refuse the lemonade because I don't want, I'm sure the kids are great. They're out there, they're hustling. I have no problem supporting them, giving them $5, but I don't want to drink lemonade that was probably mixed with the kid's hand in the jar. Like the kids are, they're little germ popsicles. I don't want anything to do with that. It was a young girl, Deborah?
Yeah, seven-year-old girl in Alabama.
Mm-hmm. She started a lemonade stand.
She started a lemonade stand
in
the community.
I'm not going to drink the lemonade. I'll donate to the lemonade kids. But why she was doing this lemonade stand was heartbreaking.
Yeah, this is actually really sad. So she's 7 years old, and her mother unexpectedly passed away, and her mom is only 29 years old. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, so, she decided to open up a lemonade stand, $1 a piece, which isn't bad because I've been through some recently, and they're like $5 a
really?
Cup. Yeah, so $1 a cup of lemonade.
I never asked the price. I just give them
a spin. Just give them money.
Yeah, here's $5. I'm not drinking it.
Sure.
So this is only $1 a cup.
So this is $1 a cup, and she's selling it in her neighborhood, and people are just asking, what is she doing? She explains that her mom passed away, and she wants to be able to get a headstone for her mom. Because at 29, maybe they don't have life insurance.
It's
expensive,
yeah.
Yeah, they're expensive anyway. And, of course, the community thought, well, this is really great. This 7-year-old is doing it. So a whole bunch of people in the community came by, bought the lemonade, of course, donated way more than they needed to. And then a local headstone company is going to donate a headstone to the family so that the daughter can put that money towards her college savings or future savings.
How much did she raise?
About $10,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and $1 a cup.
So was this a single mom?
It doesn't say that she's a single mom. It doesn't also mention their father either.
Yeah, but I mean, for a 7-year-old to be like, I've got to pay for my mom's headstone.
Yeah,
that's a life lesson that you don't need to learn at 7, and she shouldn't have been fiscally responsible for. I'm guessing that there's not much of a support system there. But
it doesn't sound like it. But props to the community for coming out for this girl.
That's amazing. Just don't drink the lemonade. Give them money. You're gonna get sick. Don't do it. Just think of that the scene in Vacation.
Oh, that's always with the Kool-Aid.
Yeah,
that's always what I think of.
Where the Randy Quaid's daughter is stirring the Kool-Aid with her forearm. Yeah, don't just give the kids money and be on your merry way. All right, more on the eclipse. Most of the continental U.S., including here in Metro Atlanta, will see at least a partial solar eclipse with over 30 million people in the path of totality where the moon's shadow will cover the sun. Cities around the country are planning special events such as festivals and viewing locations, but many cities are helping couples get married during the event. That's kind of cool, getting married during a celestial event. Our buddy Mark Strassman has more in Russellville, Arkansas, where hundreds of couples will say, I do.
If you love your partner all the way to the moon and back, this is a pretty unusual way to tie the knot here and talk about a big wedding. More than 350 couples from 25 plus states have signed up to get hitched here in Russellville. The event called Elope at the Eclipse is part of a three-day eclipse festival. It's a free event for the couples. All you need is a marriage license.
I like that. I like that. I'm not usually big on the group wedding things, but that's pretty cool. You are the sun and moon and my stars or whatever ballads were in the 60s or 50s. I think that's cool. And hopefully they get a clear path to the eclipse and there's not much. You're not a fan of the
group weddings?
Well, just getting married. It doesn't have to be this group, but imagine getting married today in Metro Atlanta at like 2:30 p.m., with the eclipse.
Yeah, that seems cool. If you have it outside, that'd be kind of
feasible. It doesn't happen very often. What did Monahan say? 2078.
77 or something like that.
2078 is when we're going to get the next full eclipse.
Somebody
here
out there is like, well, we'll get married in the next eclipse.
Yes.
There's a one couple out there.
2078. We'll do it. Anyway, we'll continue our eclipse coverage. Oh, can I play this real quick? I have time. This is the audio from Niagara Falls that I was trying to find earlier.
I'm Chris Mavridis in Niagara Falls, where they're expecting about 1 million people to gather in Queen Victoria Park on the Canadian side. It's why the region's declared a preemptive state of emergency so they can get police and extra phone networks in place in time for the eclipse. Niagara Falls is smack in the middle of the blackout zone. The sun will be completely blocked here for about 3 minutes and 31 seconds. The traffic jam out of Niagara is expected to last about 6 hours.
Ooh, 6 hours. I'm sorry. I'm spending the night. I'm camping out. I'm not driving. I'm not waiting 6 hours to get out of Niagara Falls. Stay there and enjoy the view. It's kitschy if you've never been to Niagara Falls.
Canadian side's better.
The Canadian side is better, and there's casinos there. All right, when we come back, President Trump has released a statement online on his stance on abortion and what should happen in the future. Eric Erickson's going to join us live after the news and break down that for us and the rest of Campaign 2024. Social media is active at Mark Arum, MarkArum.
The Mark Arum Show is performed before a live studio audience.
Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people.
Former President Trump issued a video this morning on Truth Social discussing his stance on abortion as we head toward the election in November. Joining us live with immediate reaction, it's Eric Erickson. You hear him live noon to 3 every Monday through Friday on WSB. Eric, your take on President Trump's abortion video.
He's in line where I think a lot of the party base is outside of the pro-life activist groups. Susan B. Anthony, one of the bigger pro-life activist groups, had said they would essentially fight any Republican who wasn't supporting a nationwide 15-week ban, and has kind of ignored this and said they're going to work to get him elected. Shows who's the dominant voice here on this. And it's a federalist position, essentially saying let every state decide. That's what overturning Roe v. Wade meant, was let the 50 states have their own solutions, and now Trump's there.
He in the recent weeks, former president has mentioned a possible 15 or 16 week national ban. Do you think he was talked off that ledge by his advisors to come up with, hey, just let the states do it?
Yeah, in large part because the GOP and the pro-life movement, frankly, has been failing badly at messaging a 15, 16-week ban. It actually polls pretty popularly. It's more liberal than most European countries, including France, but the GOP's been bad with the message. So this, let every state decide for itself, is kind of an easy selling point.
Meanwhile, for the Democrats, this is, if there is an issue that's going to get Democrats off the couch in this November, it's not going to be a love of Biden. It might be this abortion issue. Does this kind of neuter what the Democrats are planning for November?
I think they're trying on the Republican side to avoid a big surge, and this probably is the best way to do it, because in a lot of states already, particularly states with high Democratic turnout, they're already at this position where Trump is with pretty liberal abortion laws. So it's not going to impact, you're not going to see a massive wave of Democrats in Alabama turnout, for example, but in some of the swing states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, yeah, it probably neutralizes them in large part because he's essentially saying, I'm not going to touch your state's abortion law.
I've been out of town for a week, Eric. So
me too.
Good. We're on the same page then. So I'm coming back to, we still have Speaker Johnson. He's still our speaker. Is that going to be a long-term speakership? What's the latest on that?
No one really knows. So they're going to put forward a resolution to fund Ukraine. There are the votes for it, a bipartisan support, but Marjorie Taylor Greene is opposed to it and says essentially if he advances this, she will send up her resolution to oust the speaker. I don't think not only is she going to get the votes for it, but that Democrats are probably going to have the speaker's back to thank him for allowing Ukraine funding to go through. Now, this will allow people like Marjorie Taylor Greene to say, well, he's the Democrats speaker now, but she's put him in the position where he is beholden to them. This is her strategic miscalculation that she'll try to claim as a win. And of course, a lot of the base will side with her regardless of the facts and say, yeah, he's owned by the Democrats now. You got the first conservative evangelical speaker of the House and you're ready to oust him because he's willing to fund Ukraine. Kind of silly, but that's where we are.
Is there any chance that the speaker goes across the aisle and talks to Hakeem Jeffries and says, hey, listen, let's do something together. Let's get something done. Is that feasible?
I don't think so. As much as the Democrats will probably, well, in large part because they're kind of tired of these delays as well. There's some serious business that has to deal with. I don't think you're going to see a bipartisan moment here. At the end of the day, Johnson is a conservative evangelical. He's the first movement conservative. This includes Gingrich. Johnson is the first movement conservative to become Speaker of the House.
I haven't talked to you since sine die. Anything jump off the page under the Gold Dome here? What passed? What didn't pass?
Yes, they refuse to fix the stupid speed camera issue at schools. they'll have to do that one next year. But the legislation came out too late. But, you know, at the end of the day, though, moving forward with some hospital reform in the state and starting to get their toe in the water on tort reform is needed. You know, some members of the legislature, I hear, have commercial businesses and can't get insurance anymore because Georgia hasn't fixed insurance issues in the state. The legislature starting to realize we do have a problem. You're starting to see all those billboards on the interstates of all the trial lawyers coming up from Florida. It's because Florida passed tort reform and now they're moving to our state. Our
no
state's
kidding.
Gonna have to get involved. Yeah, that's why you're seeing all the billboards everywhere now that you used to not see, because Florida changed its laws and so now they're coming to Georgia. But a couple of the members of the legislature now can't get insurance for their businesses and they're realizing we got a problem in the state now.
Interesting. This has nothing to do with Georgia politics, but I saw something on Twitter this weekend. It was basically Senator Fetterman's quotes. And someone opined, like, he's slowly becoming a Republican. Like, he's taken a lot of Republican stance on a lot of issues.
Yeah, look, you put a man in a suit, look what happens to him. he was known as the lieutenant governor of the state of Pennsylvania, and he hasn't changed. The problem was progressives nationally rallied to him to stop Osmomet, and they didn't really know what they were getting. He hasn't really changed his position so much as we're now more aware of his positions. And turns out a lot of Republicans, he's not one of them, and they shouldn't be confused any more than Joe Manchin's a Republican, but he's certainly a more centrist person than he let on in his campaign when he needed progressive votes to beat the Republican.
Well, I became a fan of his when he just is calling out Menendez to his face. Like,
yes.
You know, that won me some points for Fetterman.
Same.
Listen, so the eclipse is going on today. It's going to be on while you're on the air. I know you've got that palatial studio with those big picture windows. Are you and the kids at least going to be able to see the eclipse today?
So I guess the actual point of totality is 306, or as close as we'll be first. So I have a lens for my telescope that's like a welder's lens. So I brought it to my studio so I can look out the window and look at it before I leave. But I'll be, I guess, when it's totally, and it's only going to be, 75 to 79% around here, I'm definitely going to look at it. I went up to North Georgia and got a great picture in the 2017 one of the total eclipse. So nothing will be like that, but it's still going to be cool.
All right, so it'll be 306 right after you get off the air. That's perfect.
Yep.
Perfect timing. Eric, so good to talk to you, man. I hope you enjoyed
too.
Your time off, my friend.
I did. You too.
There you go. Eric Erickson, noon to 3, Monday through Friday here on 95.5 WSB. All right, when we come back, just Deborah Green just checking off every cast member of The Office. Oscar Nunez. Oscar from The Office. He joins us live next on The Mark Arum Show. .10:50 on the Mark Arum Show, minutes away from Oscar Nunez from The Office. Deborah Green, I broke some breaking news to Alex Williams over the weekend. Ooh. I'm going to share it with the world now.
Where is Hector?
Totally caught off guard. McDonald's has brought back their breakfast bagels.
I didn't even know they had bagels.
Yes, they did. Right, Alex Williams? The steak, egg, and cheese bagel for Alex Williams was a mainstay. And I just happened to be going through the McDonald's drive-thru, and I was like, it said, bagels are back. So I texted out, Alex, did you get the steak, egg, and cheese one?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I did.
You guys are so excited.
Yeah, I mean, well, I know that was his favorite breakfast sandwich at McDonald's. Now I'm hoping that will spur our buddies at Chick-fil-A to bring back their chicken, egg, and cheese bagel, which is my favorite breakfast sandwich in Chick-fil-A history. But yeah, so I broke the news to Alex Williams that the breakfast bagels are back. All right, joining us live now on the Mark Arum Show, you know him, you love him, from The Office, it's Oscar Nunez. Oscar, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Oh, my God, I haven't had breakfast yet. I'm starving. You guys are talking about delicious breakfast items.
Yeah,
how are you?
The breaking news is McDonald's brought back their breakfast bagels. I don't know if you had tried them in the past, but it's worth a chance, buddy.
I'll give it a look-see. What is this McDonald's you speak of? Is that a new...
It's a small local Atlanta place. You know, they're trying to you know, make their way in the world. Oscar, I'm so excited. In theaters, April 12th, it's The Long Game. This combines a lot of my passions because I'm a sports nut. Tell us about The Long Game.
It's this story. I read the script and I'm like, what? This happened? It's a great sports story. Took place, I think, in 1956 in Texas. There's these kids, Mexican-American kids. They caddy at a club. They love golf. They can't be members of the club because they're Mexican-American, and it's a segregated club. But they find a way to play golf out in this rinky-dink desert. They make a hole, and they're hitting the ball around, and they run into this teacher from their high school who decides to coach them, and he organizes them, and they make a golf team at their high school. And the first year that they organize their team, they go to the state championship, and they go up against the private school where all the rich kids go, where the parents that go to the golf club, that's where their kids go, and they have a golf team, and they go up against the public school golf team. A true story. Dennis Quaid, who's a great Texan and a great golfer, came across the book and decided to put it up on the big screen. It's a great sports story and a great human story.
So that's a true story. All the way back from 56, this actually happened.
I know. It's crazy. It's a true story. It happened.
So obviously you play one of the high school kids, right?
Yes, I played. I went out for the part of a junior in high school, but then they gave me a senior. That's more believable. So I played one of the seniors in high school.
Do you play the coach? Like, who do you play in the Long Game?
I play the principal of the school.
Oh, the principal. Okay. All right. This kind of, yeah. It's reminiscent to me of maybe Stand and Deliver, right? But an athletic version of Stand and Deliver.
Yeah. It's, you know, like I said, Dennis is a great golf enthusiast, and he came across a story that's just such a good story. And so, it's a sports high school movie when all is said and done. It's a great, great story that really happened. Really happened.
Love those true stories. Oscar Nunez joining us live on the Mark Arum Show. The Long Game in theaters April 12th. Dennis Quaid, Cheech Marin's in this as well.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of good people. Cheech is there, yeah.
Did you spend any time in Cheech's trailer during the filming of the movie?
Oh, I wish, no. I didn't even shoot a scene with him, but I did get to meet him. We were in Texas at the same time, and he was having brunch at the hotel, and I went up to him with my daughter, and I said to my daughter, this is Cheech. He's a legendary, iconic American comedian. And he was touched by that. That was pretty cool.
I know you get asked about The Office every interview you do, but my wife made me ask you about her favorite movie, The Proposal. I swear, Oscar, anytime that's on, there could be 4 minutes left in the movie. She wants to watch it. I've seen that movie 1,000 times. She wants to know how you got that role in The Proposal.
What's her name?
Maya.
What's her name?
Dr. Maya Arum. That's my wife.
Dr. Maya. I think the audition for that was... I think they just had me dance. That's what I remember. I went in and it wasn't even live. They put music. They're like, "Can you just dance to this music and show us how you would dance to this music?" It was really weird, and I'm like, "Okay," and I did. And then weeks went by, and I got a call. They're like, "Oh, they want you for," and I'm like, "What? Oh, that movie." But I remember really liking the script when I read it. I thought it was hilarious, and I really wanted that part. It was a dream come true.
And you got it, and you got so to work fun. With Betty White too. That must have been pretty remarkable to work with Betty White.
And I kind of made friends with her. That was the best part.
No kidding.
And Dennis O'Hare, the guy who played the lawyer, the bad guy, we're still friends to this day. And the great Sandra Bullock is amazing. We're still friends to this day. It was a great experience. Great movie.
Interesting. Oscar, I do have to finish with an Office question. I mean, such a remarkable show, such an amazing run. Are we going to see a reboot, a movie? We miss the characters so much. Is there anything in the future that can satiate this desire that Office fans have?
I don't know at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
It'd be amazing, right? I mean, we've seen, you know, these, like Downton Abbey. They've already done 3 movies of Downton Abbey. Let's do an Office movie and see how the characters...
It's so beloved. It's on all the time. I love that it's on all the time and that every, you know, kids growing up, teenagers, young kids in their early teens and younger are watching it, you know, kids 12, 13. Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, it belongs in the Smithsonian. As I'm sure does The Long Game. I can't wait. In theaters April 12th. Fantastic stuff. Oscar Nunez, thank you so much for your time, buddy. Best of luck, and we'll catch up with you down the road, my friend.
I appreciate it. You're so welcome. Bye, Dr. Maya.
Yeah, Maya texted me, by the way. She said, OMG, like she heard the shout-out. So thank you for that, Oscar.
Right on.
All right, there you go. Oscar Nunez from the... I swear, Deborah, that The Proposal, it could be on the Spanish channel.
I like that movie.
And Maya's like, we're watching the Proposal. There you go, Oscar Nunez. Good dude. I'm excited for that movie. It's like a golf version of Stand and Deliver.
Yeah. Without Calculus.
Calculus. 2.5 minutes away from news, weather, and traffic. All the social medias are up and active, and including Deborah put a video together of me asking Vince Scully what it was like to call that legendary home run by Hank Aaron 50 years ago today. At Mark Arum on the socials, MarkArum.
No, I want this town to be near you.
11:04 on an absolutely gorgeous Monday. Welcome back, friends. Mark Arum and crew with you till noon. The weather shouldn't impede your view of the partial solar eclipse that we're going to see here in Metro Atlanta. 145 to 420. So you got a wide window. 306-ish is when we're going to see the most blockage of the sun. But remember, make sure you're wearing specially approved glasses, eclipse glasses. I wish I had kept them from 2017.
You just tossed them thinking there's never going to be another eclipse?
And you know what a hoarder I am, too,
yeah,
Deborah.
Are you sure they're not still in your office?
They might be in my office. Scott Slade, did you keep your eclipse glasses from 2017?
Yeah, but I can't find them. I have torn more drawers apart. I'm trying to find those doggone things.
There you go.
I can't.
Good to see you, my friend. Hey. Scott Slade joining us live in studio on the 50th anniversary of one of the greatest moments, not only in sports history, but Atlanta history. Hank Aaron breaking the record.
And like so many things that happened, people heard him live on WSB.
That's right.
Back in 1974. And we had a chance to talk to Milo Hamilton, the legendary voice of the Braves, before Skip Don, Joe, and Pete took over. And I got a chance to talk to him for our 75th anniversary show. This is from 1997. I was always curious. Well, I asked him, Did you have the thing scripted out?
When Aaron announced a couple years before he actually accomplished the feat that he was going to chase the babe, and you knew that you were going to be the announcer to do it, and I know when George Plimpton wrote the book, he tried to get me the whole winter before the 74 season to tell him what I was going to say. And I said, I can't do that because spontaneity has been my strong suit, and I don't want it to sound prepared. And fortunately, the home run lended itself to not being sounding like it was prepared because, you know, Aaron did not hit bombs. He hit home runs, many of them, but he didn't hit upper deck home runs. And you weren't sure this home run was going out, and Bill Buckner, the left fielder for the Dodgers, leaped up on that old wire fence at County Stadium and almost caught the thing until Tommy House caught it right behind that fence in the bullpen area. So the excitement was there, provided by the moment of the evening, the historical significance of it, and everything else that rolled into one to make it the great feat that it was.
Despite all the success for Hank Aaron, it was an extremely difficult time in his life.
All of the racist kind of things come out of a lot of people, you know, with all of the hate mail and all of the other things that was challenging me, you know. My kid, I had a daughter at that time in college at Fisk University, and she was just in college. She wasn't able to go off campus. She wasn't able to do some of the things she wanted to do. So it was a period of my life that I really didn't enjoy.
Since 1991, we've been spoiled by the success of the Atlanta Braves.
Well, who's that guy at the end?
The guy who sort of sounded like he did a little helium before he did the recording.
Who knows? These cassette tapes, you just never know.
Yeah, you never know. I'm glad you saved them. I wish I'd saved more audio. But I have cassettes and the mini discs, and I got to get them all digitized somewhere. But did you ever get to meet the great Hank Aaron?
Yes, I did. Finally, we gave him our Shining Light Award.
That's right.
And I can't remember the year right now, but it was all his work in philanthropy, not just the fact that he was a sports legend, but the things he was doing for the community. And so that ever-burning gas light, I'm trying to remember, I think it's right there, still at the site of the Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. I don't think Atlanta Gas Light ever moved it. And I'm pretty sure it's still there. That's a good, I got to look that up.
Yeah, I remember when I first moved to Atlanta and hearing the ads for the Hank Aaron BMW place. And I was like, if only I could afford a BMW, I can go down and meet Hank Aaron. And I never, I was in rooms with him, but I never got to actually meet him, which is a shame. I will regret it for the rest of my life that I didn't get to meet the great Hank Aaron.
Yeah, humble, absolute greatness just oozed out of him. But I'll never forget what it felt like to shake his hand. It felt like shaking hands with a man who had a catcher's mitt on.
Yeah, exactly.
Big, big hands.
So young Scott Slade on this date 50 years ago, do you recall Hank breaking the record? Were you listening to WSB Radio and Milo Hamilton?
You know, I was working in Jacksonville, Florida by then. At the Big Ape back in those days, playing rock and roll
on your records. FM days, yeah.
Actually, still AM. People listened to music on AM that long ago, in 1974. So, no, but of course we were all caught up in it. And we were just so happy for him and happy for the Braves.
Yeah. I was trying to just, you know, go through my mind days that would compare to this in, you know, as far as great days in Atlanta history. One that jumps in is also sports related was the announcement of the Olympics here, or the Olympic opening ceremonies. That was probably a great day in Atlanta history. Am I missing some? Because my Atlanta knowledge is not as long and as deep as the official historian of WSB.
Oh,
Radio.
Am I? Is that me now?
Yeah.
Oh, you're asking the wrong guy. I was awful at history. I've tried to think back. Yeah, obviously.
Georgia history. I mean, the election of Jimmy Carter to president, that's got to be up there.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I thought you were talking about sports things. And obviously, the national championship for the Georgia Bulldogs.
Oh,
1980,
yeah.
You know, Bulldogs team. Things like that. World War II, even. That war came alive through these microphones.
Indeed. So that was our 75th anniversary. What are we, 102 now? 102 years
old? That's right, 1922.
WSB Radio.
Yeah, 102. We don't look a day over 100.
There you go. All right, so what are you doing for the eclipse, buddy? What's the plan?
I'm going to try not to look at the sun.
Okay.
I'm going to go look for those glasses again.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go through my office, which is basically a closet, and see if I can find them.
And feel bad for all those people who paid all that money to get into the path of the eclipse and have the cloudy skies from Texas through Arkansas and places like that, right?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I feel so bad for them. Spending thousands of dollars to plan this eclipse trip and then cloudy.
Yeah, of all things. You know, we just can't depend on the weather, right? We're going to talk tomorrow morning as well?
I hope so.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you're under no contractual obligation, but we would love to talk to you. What's coming up Thursday on Atlanta's Morning News?
Oh, it's kind of interesting. Georgia is one of the few states that actually makes public the final statements from condemned prisoners before they go and meet their maker.
Yeah.
And Willie Pye, as you know, was executed in March.
Yeah.
And he had some very interesting things to say.
Interesting.
And we've got the audio from that. And the former WSB news director who actually influenced legislation to make sure that people could hear newsworthy events like that and others.
That's coming up, Scottsdale, Georgia, mm-hmm. on Thursday. And we'll actually hear the audio.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. It's like studio quality.
All right.
You can't miss it. So tomorrow we'll talk about one of the more austere days in the life of Atlanta, the twin funerals for Martin Luther King Jr., happened on April 9th.
All right.
And what a remarkable day in many ways that was. Sad and remarkable at the same time.
I look forward to that conversation tomorrow, 10:35. Scott Slade joins us.
Yes, sir.
On the Mark Arab Show. All right, when we come back, more on the eclipse, updating the Israel-Hamas war, and I've got some more great Hank Aaron audio I want to play for you on the 50th anniversary of him breaking Babe Ruth's record. You heard it live right here on WSB Radio. That's Vin Scully, who is the other radio announcer that made that call of the historic home run. Deborah was kind enough to put together a little social media video. I got to interview Hall of Famer Vin Scully and ask him about what it was like to call that record-breaking home run. And that's posted now on all my social medias, at Mark Arum, M-A-R-K-A-R-U-M, if you get a chance to listen. I got some more Hank Aaron audio in a second, but it just Veronica doing traffic reminded me of, you know, I give Atlanta drivers a lot of grief, right? Mostly for the aggressiveness. It's the polar opposite in the Pacific Northwest when I was there.
I've noticed that too.
So Maya and I flew. We went Clark Smart on this. We flew from Atlanta to Seattle, spent a couple days there, and then I rented a car. And Clark.com, by the way, if you need to rent a car, just search rental car on Clark.com, and he sends you this site. It was awesome. Saved a ton of money. So anyway, I rented a car from Portland, in Seattle, and drove down to Portland, and I had the car in Portland. We drove to the coast. The drivers in the Pacific Northwest have not gotten the word that the left lane on the interstate is for fast cars. I don't know if it's just reverse, but the slowest cars were in the left lane on the interstate between Seattle and Portland. It was
really
infuriating. It was driving.
So you were the aggressive driver out there.
Yes. I was like, you know, I hate to do it, but I was like flashing the lights behind him, like, move over, people. It was crazy. So I will take Atlanta drivers over drivers in Oregon and Washington.
I remember being in Seattle waiting to cross the street and cars literally stopping and like waving us to go by. Versus here where they like try to zoom through the crosswalk. Yeah.
They're very nice, but they've not gotten the memo that the left lane is for passing, not for, you know, lollygagging. It was crazy how annoying it was. Anyway, but other than that, I had a great time. I went to a famous restaurant in Portland. Dagnabbit, I'm going to forget the name of it. It's the most famous Haitian restaurant in the world. There's some celebrity chef that runs it. Maya knows him from cooking shows or whatever. And we get there, and we went with, you know, my friends, and I look at the menu, and I'm like, there's nothing I can eat here. Like, it's all spicy Haitian food. So I was like, whatever you guys order, I'm going to do it. And it was delicious. But thankfully, they ordered, because I would have been, they had Haitian spaghetti, which is a thing.
What's Haitian spaghetti?
So apparently,
is it con?
Con, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, it was like, you can't get reservations there. It's crazy popular. So apparently, spaghetti, somehow Haitians got spaghetti.
When Europeans stopped in the Caribbean, I'm sure it influenced the Haitians.
And it became a breakfast dish in Haiti. Yeah, like spaghetti bread they put hot dogs in it, and it was great. Anyway, it was a great meal. But I was so out of my element. I'm like, I don't know what any of this food. It was all delicious. But I was like, I just closed the menu. I'm like, whatever you guys
want. Was it all in French? Or
no, it was like spicy stuff.
Just stuff you knew you couldn't eat.
Yes, I'm here. I'm going to go for it. Anyway. Con, yeah, it was One of the fancier restaurants I've ever been to. All right, back to Hank Aaron. This is from one of the best Twitter accounts out there. It's called Braves on TBS. If you're a Braves fan, you got to follow this. I think it's run by the folks that at TBS. Anyway, this is some audio from the 1995 documentary, Hank Aaron Chasing the Dream.
He means a tying run at the plate now. But we'll see what Downing does. Al at the belt delivers, and he's low. Ball one. And that just adds to the pressure. The crowd booing. Downing has to ignore the sound effects and stay a professional and pitch his game. One ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting. The outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone.
It was all kind of a blur after that. Don't really remember those two kids. Just thinking I better make sure to touch all the bases. I don't think it was joy or excitement I was feeling. More just relief, like I could finally come up for air. I was thinking how happy I was for my teammates and my family, that they wouldn't have to put up with any of this anymore. Then out of the corner of my eye, I saw Mama coming straight toward me, looking like she was afraid for her life or mine. I'm telling you, she wasn't letting go till she was sure her boy was safe, even if it meant hanging on all night.
I found myself outside on the field. And I said, well, I got to dive with him. Let me go down with him. Me and him go together.
Well, I would just like to say, to all the fans here this evening, and I just thank God it's all over with. Thank you very much.
It is over. And for the first time in a long time, that poker face of Aaron shows the tremendous relief. What a marvelous moment for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world. A black man is getting a standing ovation in the Deep South for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol. And it is a great moment for all of us, and particularly for Henry Aaron.
God. How can you not just love that? The whole that Vin Scully with the amazing call there. There needs to be a Hank Aaron movie. Like, there's never been a legitimate Hollywood Hank Aaron movie.
Maybe now that he's passed, maybe they can work on a story with his family.
I mean, we had the Jackie Robinson movie.
That was great.
And the Mickey Mantle movies and a couple.
The Sandlot.
A couple of Babe Ruth. Speaking of movies, I watched the remake of Roadhouse.
I watched that with my husband. It's okay.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. The worst actor in the world is Conor McGregor.
Thank you.
He was so
over the top.
So bad. The worst actor I've ever seen in a major Hollywood production. All right. When we come back, we're going to revisit our interview with Governor Brian Kemp, and we'll update the Israel-Hamas war and Iran starting to do some saber rattling. We'll update that next on the Mark Arum Show. A camel and a kangaroo. 11:37. Welcome back, friends. Mark Ehrman crew with you till noon. Let's give away some tickets to Evergreen. Let's do the seventh caller to 404-872-0750. What do they win?
All right, if you're a Dega fan, you get a pair of tickets to go see the Geico 500 April 21st at Talladega Super Speedway.
Talladega. Captain Herb took me twice to Talladega.
How was that?
Amazing. An amazing experience. So the seventh caller to Sweet Pea Purnell at 404-872-0750 wins those tickets, courtesy of the Mark Arum Show and 95.5 WSB. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to update the Israel-Hamas war and the solar eclipse. But first, let's say good morning to the great governor of the great state of Georgia, Governor Brian Kemp.
Hey, good morning, Mark. Doing great. Hope you are.
Excellent. I imagine you're on your way down to Fayette County right now for a massive groundbreaking ceremony.
Well, we are. We're very excited about the U.S. soccer headquarters being down in Fayetteville. It's going to be a great celebration this morning to kick that project off. It's going to be a great economic win for our state, bring a lot of people here to train, and, you know, we're becoming the the mecca of soccer, if you will, and sports in general here in the Peach State in the city of Atlanta. It's awesome.
Yeah, so this is like the headquarters for the U.S. soccer program. It's going to be here in the metro area. That's a massive win for the state of Georgia.
Well, it is. I mean, it's like a corporate headquarters announcement, if you will, from, you know, somebody like, obviously, Home Depot, Delta, UPS, Georgia-based companies, but others that we brought here, like Norfolk Southern, NCR, and this is just another corporate headquarters, if you will. It's just completely different because you're going to have a lot of people coming in and out to train, and it's going to be the home to U.S. soccer, and obviously, we saw over the weekend with the She Believes Cup, record attendance for a women's soccer event. We've got the, you know, 8 matches coming in the World Cup, which is going to be incredible for our state from the soccer perspective, but also from an economic tourism perspective, and literally having Atlanta and the state of Georgia having access to the world.
And this is going to be a huge, like 200 acres, I believe, Governor. And, you know, obviously this is, you know, preceding the World Cup coming to Atlanta, which is another massive get. So you're right. I mean, it's quickly becoming at least the soccer capital of North America.
Well, it really is. And I've been, you know, had my team going back just to think about all the big sporting events that we've had in this city and in the state of Georgia. It's been pretty incredible. Even over the last 10 years, and certainly over the last 5 since I've been governor, when you think about the Super Bowl, you know, SEC championship games, national championship games, we have the national championship coming back here. Obviously, what's coming in the World Cup is just going to be incredible. And then this U.S. soccer announcement today is just, I mean, it's another feather in our cap. It's a great place for people to live, work, and raise their family. And I think, you know, that's what we're celebrating today.
Governor Brian Kemp joining us live on the Mark Arum Show. What's miraculous to me is, you know, how engaged the nation's youth is in soccer. I was at a career day a couple of weeks ago at an elementary school in Gwinnett County and talked to like 120 fifth graders, and they all wanted to know what famous soccer players I've interviewed. Like that's all they cared about. They're like, have you interviewed this person? Have you ever? I mean, that it's truly a growth sport, right? The youth of this nation are just enthralled with soccer.
Well, it's really great to see, and I think, you know, obviously Arthur Blank and Atlanta United, I think, really had a tremendous amount of vision when it comes to that and where soccer is standing in the world. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of great sports in the South, and you think about the Braves sweeping this weekend, big celebration tonight with Hank Aaron, the 50th anniversary of Hank Aaron's record-breaking home run, and just so many good things that are going on, but certainly soccer is at the forefront of that, and will be today as we talk about that during the groundbreaking for the U.S. soccer headquarters. And then we got a little golf tournament down the road that will be going on later in the week that will put us on the world stage as well.
Indeed. I'm glad you mentioned Hammer and Hank.
There's a drive into left center field.
50 years ago today on WSB Radio, Milo Hamilton with the call.
There's a new home run champion of all time.
I'm getting goosebumps just listening to that. Governor, did you ever get to spend time with the Home Run King?
I did. I got to meet Hammer and Hank and his wife, Billy, several times. Just such a nice man and such a historic figure, but such a calming presence, you know. And I remember as a kid listening to the Braves and Milo Hamilton and heroes like Henry Aaron, and you think about other people that were on that team, Dusty Baker, Davey Johnson went on to be great, you know, Major League Baseball managers. I mean, just incredible sports history there, and we're looking forward to being at the game tonight and participating in the pregame ceremony honoring this historic day in our state and just this historic figure in Henry Aaron.
Well, I'm glad you're getting to go to the game. Yeah, I was talking at the top of the show. You know, one of the greatest moments in Atlanta history, not just sports, but for the city and the state. Like, it's tough to top that the unbreakable record being broken by Henry Louis Aaron here at Fulton County Stadium.
Yeah, it really is. It was an incredible thing to be able to watch, especially as a baseball fan and someone that played in my youth and up through high school, to be able to, you know, remember that type of atmosphere and events like that were incredible.
Governor, it's eclipse day today. I don't know if you're going to be done with the groundbreaking in time to see the partial solar eclipse here. Do you and the First Lady have plans to check out the solar eclipse today?
Man, I've got such a busy day. I guess I'll try to peek outside and see what's going on. It's going to be interesting to see how big an impact we actually have here when you look at the path. And I was looking at it just a little while ago, and I guess it's going to kind of be a late morning, early afternoon passing closest to us. So we'll see what that's like and see what the clouds are doing out there.
Well, what I'm excited about this for is a lot of the schools in the area are using this as a teaching moment, right, to teach kids about the sun and the stars and celestial events. And I'm hoping that this will spur a future generation of astronomers or astronauts, you know, kids that get hooked on the science bug early because of this eclipse. That being said, I don't know if I've ever asked you this before, Governor. 12-year-old Brian Kemp, what did 12-year-old Brian Kemp want to be when he grew up?
Man, probably some sort of a baseball player or football player or something like that. I certainly wasn't thinking about being an astronaut, I can tell you that.
There you go. Governor, as always, appreciate your time. Very excited about the groundbreaking of the U.S. Soccer program down in Fayette County. Is it 400 jobs that's going to create something like that?
I believe that's right. But you'll see the ancillary jobs, too, Mark, that will come off of that when you think about people that will be staying in hotels, eating in our restaurants, flying in and out of the airport when they're coming here to train or do business with U.S. soccer. It's going to have a lot of impact on the economy of our state.
Can't wait. More wins for Georgia. Governor Brian Kemp. Governor, as always, appreciate your time, sir.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Always good to have the governor on the show. Always good to give back to the listeners. A couple of tickets to Talladega going to Timothy and Rex. He won those. Are we going to have more of those tickets to give away?
All week?
Yeah, all week. Talladega.
Dega.
All right, we'll come back. Purnell's got Longoria's Fact of the Day. We're going to update the Israel-Hamas War and Eclipse 2024. Stay tight, friends. We'll be right back. It's the Mark Arum Show on 95.5 WSB. Sorry for the loud rejoin music. This song, who sings it? Barbara Mandrell?
Bonnie Taylor.
And
Tyler.
It just passed a billion views on YouTube because of the eclipse. So hopefully she's getting... Is she still with us?
Yeah, she's still alive.
What's her name?
Bonnie Tyler.
Was she the star of One Day at a Time?
Yes.
That was the redheaded mama there? There you go. All right, eclipse, real quick, before I update the Israel-Hamas war. Brian Monahan came in studio, said 145 to 420... is where we're going to see a bulk of the visibility here in North Georgia. Don't forget to wear the glasses. Erickson says his sources tell him 306 will be the optimum time. So I'm going to forego my mid-afternoon nap. I'm going to be outside with the puppies watching the eclipse. All right, updating the Israel-Hamas war. A couple of interesting developments this morning. Iran has vowed to avenge the deaths of several officials killed by an Israeli attack on the Iranian embassy in Syria last week. CBS News Security Coordinator Samantha Vinograd said it's unlikely that Iran would conduct one of these attacks themselves.
The U.S. intelligence community assessed back in March that Iran and Israel both wanted to avoid a full-scale direct confrontation. I do not assess that Iran wants to engage in direct conflict with the United States, but let's be clear. Iran is attacking us right now via its proxies in the Gulf of Aden and in the Red Sea.
Yeah, all about the proxies from Iran. We'll see if they do some saber rattling there. Also, Israel says it's withdrawing troops from Khan Yunis in southern Gaza because its mission there is complete and preparing for further military operations elsewhere. BBC's Hugo Bachega in Jerusalem says the big question now is, what are Israel's intentions toward Rafah, where it says several battalions of Hamas fighters still remain and must be destroyed?
More than a million Palestinians are now sheltering in Rafah, in overcrowded camps, in crowded shelters. There have been concerns that any kind of major military offensive in Rafah could lead to a humanitarian catastrophe.
Now, I kind of checked out when I was over, when I was off for spring break, but I believe there are now three new humanitarian corridors getting relief into Gaza and the Palestinian citizens there. So that is some good news. One more international story. The Russia-Ukraine war. This is crazy. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports on arguments over who fired drones at a nuclear power plant in Ukraine. Who is firing drones at a nuclear power plant?
A senior Ukrainian official has denied Russian accusations that his country's army fired drones at a nuclear reactor at Europe's largest nuclear power plant. The Kremlin's forces have been occupying and running the Zaporizhzhia plant in southern Ukraine since shortly after the war began more than 2 years ago. The spokesperson for Ukraine's military intelligence agency suggests that there had been no attack, saying Russian forces routinely fabricate strikes on the plant. However, the strikes on this occasion were confirmed by UN's Atomic Watchdog Agency, though it didn't attribute responsibility for the attack to either side. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
All right, one more international story. This one a less serious. Colby, do you know what the word promiscuous means?
I've heard it a bunch of times, but I'm not familiar.
Okay. You probably know someone you went to high school with. She was very promiscuous.
I'm sure I probably
do. Okay, there you go. The most promiscuous countries. This is by notches on the bedpost.
Yeah, so
Evergreen.
They're talking about lifetime partners. We'll just say that.
Lifetime partners. Okay.
Yeah.
These numbers were, well, I'm not going to judge.
It's an average, and it depends on where you come from and your cultural norms.
In the United States, what's the average number of lifetime partners?
The United States comes in at number 12 with 10.7 average partners.
So the average person listening has had 10.7 partners in
there. Or will have 10.
Or will have 10.7 partners. All right. So we're 12th on the list. Who's number one on the list? What country's number one?
Number one, I don't know much about this country, is Turkey with 14.5.
My brother,
do you know someone from Turkey?
My sister-in-law. My brother married.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I don't think Zainab's
is this his overall average for the country?
What's the number on them?
14.5.
I'm not going to ask anyone's number on the show, but that's interesting. Who are the least promiscuous countries?
So this gives me a top 46, which is random, but number 46 with an average of 3 is India.
Oh, Sanjay.
Well, they have arranged marriages, right?
But yeah, that charts, though. That charts with Sanjay's history. All right, so India, the least promiscuous with 3 lifetime partners. Turkey, the most promiscuous with 14.5 partners. There you go. In the United States, what is it? 10.7.
We're number 12. We don't even crack the top 10.
All right, 10.7. So as you're driving now, think, are you higher or lower than 10.7? How do you get that 0.7?
Average.
Someone walks in on you?
Maybe.
You don't get the
things
full,
don't end.
You don't get the full 11.
Longoria's fact of the day.
Did you know on this day in 1879, New York City started selling milk in glass bottles? Before this, people had to provide their own containers, and the milk was received from large kegs.
This will not surprise you, Deborah. I've got a collection of vintage glass milk bottles.
Really?
In
Do
my
you
office.
Love milk that much?
Well, they came from the Torrington Dairy.
Oh, okay. Well,
dairy
that makes
in my
sense.
Town.
Yeah.
And I collect them. You put little white beads on them, and it looks like there's milk in there. I'm going to go to my office to get my Eclipse glasses. Would you like one? Would you like a milk bottle?
No, I'm good.
Are you good?
Yeah, all right, I probably have some from my own hometown dairy.
There you go. All right, let's do stars of the show and get out of here for the Eclipse.
Are you guys ready for the Mark Arum Star of the Show?
Oh, Deborah, we got a lot of them. Reporter Chris Fox joined us live from Texas, updating the Eclipse. Brian Monahan finally got him down to the radio studio from Channel 2 Action News this morning. He gets a star of the show. Governor Kemp, always great to have him on. He gets a star of the show. Eric Erickson joined us live. He gets a star of the show. Oscar Nunez from The Office joined us. He's got a new movie out coming out. Very excited to see that. And Scott Slade came in. Am I missing anybody?
Colby.
Colby. Lovely Colby. Not promiscuous. Filling in for the stoic one. Longoria back tomorrow?
Longo's back from his Eclipse viewing tomorrow.
There you go. Did he go to Texas?
He was in Texas, remember?
But is he back now?
I don't know where he's watching it from.
All right. I hope he doesn't get hit by that cloud cover. That would
actually be
kind
of funny.
There you go. All right. Tomorrow we got big stuff, giving away more Talladega tickets. Phil Rosenthal is going to join us later in the week. Everybody feed Phil. Somebody feed Phil. All the social medias. If you missed my interview with Vin Scully talking about Hank Aaron's home run, it's posted on all the social medias right now at Mark Arum, MarkArum. Stay safe. Enjoy the Eclipse. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Atlanta.
Place of time. Oh, yes, he is. Now we
Guests of the Mark Arum Show stay at the All Suite Omni Hotel, located in the heart of Chicago's Magnificent Mile.
Thanks for listening to the Mark Arum Show podcast. Thanks for Xfinity for sponsoring said podcast. A couple of things in life I don't skimp on. Toilet paper, razor blades, seafood. I want the best of the best when it comes to all three. And internet. That's why I use Xfinity Internet. And it's the amazing 10G network. The 10G network from Xfinity. The future starts now. Smarter, more consistent, and a secure network. And it only gets better. Jump on board the Xfinity 10G network online. Just go to Xfinity.com.